buckle up, everybody, because this is going to be a weird one. Welcome back to Uproar in the Studio, your weekly Chinese blockbuster podcast. Just a note, you might notice that this episode is coming a week earlier than you expect. Uproar in the Studio Season 2 is a weekly podcast. We are no longer bi-weekly. We are putting in double the effort for the same amount of episodes. I'm Noah.
I'm Reza.
I'm Andrew. And this is the Jackie Chan post-Rush Hour 3 season.
This week we're going to talk about Shinjuku Incident from 2009. You don't have to see the movie. We're going to give a synopsis. But if you want to watch it unspoiled, and this one's kind of good unspoiled, maybe listen to the show afterwards.
In an incredibly worth it 4 a.m. call, we talk with Kenya Sawada, who plays Nakajima in the film and actually gets to kill Jackie Chan. It's a second leg rematch of their epic fight in 1995's Thunderbolt.
But first we talk with returning guest Lauren Teixeira. She's a journalist, and until recently she lived in Chengdu, for obvious reasons that has changed. Her work has appeared in Vice, Foreign Policy, The Economist, and New York Magazine's Intelligencer. Here's our conversation about the film, starting with a synopsis.
In this Hong Kong crime film, Jackie Chan plays a tractor mechanic named Steelhead, who leaves China for Japan in search of his fiancée, Xu Xu. Upon arrival, Steelhead's old friend Joe helps him find work in the Japanese underworld. It's not long before Steelhead and his friends find friction with several rival gangs controlling the city, and Steelhead learns that Xu Xu is now married to a Yakuza gang leader, Iguchi. Steelhead rescues Iguchi from an assassination attempt and becomes a trusted member of the Yakuza, but as he climbs the ladder of organized crime, he longs for the innocence he and his friends have lost. Eventually, Steelhead turns on his friends just as the Yakuza turns on Iguchi, and in a massive police raid slash gang war, Steelhead is gunned down by Iguchi's former right-hand man. Tractor love, roasted nuts, and the death of Jackie Chan. This is Shinjuku Incident.
How are you doing, Lauren?
You know, considering everything, I'm doing pretty good. It's a weird time. I'm supervising the move out of my apartment. I'm giving up my apartment in Chengdu, so I've been kind of coordinating the move out from thousands of miles away. And
are you writing about
friends, so it'll be okay. Am I writing about moving out of my apartment?
I feel like it could be interesting.
I'd be down for that one. Cool. I mean, I feel like the bar has fallen so low for coronavirus stories that maybe I could just...
The Times will take it, yeah. We'll take anything.
Some of the stories I've seen recently, like especially the lifestyle things, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Did you see that there was one with Tom Ford this morning on how to look good on a Zoom call?
in the Times.
A long time ago, yeah.
So are you back in the States permanently now, or are you... What are you doing until this thing ends?
I don't know. I mean, it kind of looks like there's no way for me to go back to China in the next, 6 months. I mean,
yeah,
it could be because of the restrictions. And then I heard from someone that probably all of the tourist visas are going to get canceled.
Oh,
so I'll probably have to reapply, and then that'll be kind of nerve-wracking. So it could be a very long time. And I don't foresee myself moving back long-term. It's just not possible at this point.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad, and it's been kind of a bummer moving out of my apartment. It makes me a little sad. But, you know, it could be worse. It could have the corona. None of my family members have the corona, so.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, how are you guys doing?
We're all right. We're, yeah, locked down like everyone.
Are you here in New York City?
We're all out of New York City at this point, so that's good.
I'm in a suburb outside of it. I'm in actually Nassau County, which I think has a higher concentration of cases than Manhattan right now.
Yeah,
not in terms of like amount of cases, but just like percentage of the population that has it.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then Reza and I are upstate.
Okay.
Slightly better, but not much. Anyway, so what did you think of Shinjuku Incident?
It wasn't terrible. I mean, like, I enjoyed it. I mean, I have a pretty low bar for action crime films. I love any kind of crime drama.
Jackie Chan.
He's not young.
No.
So.
No.
I want to see him get The Irishman.
Get De Niro'd.
But he won't get DH'd for like another 30 years.
Right? He's 90 and he's doing Police Story, you know, Cyborg.
Seven.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it could happen.
They're making that James Dean movie.
Yeah, they'll digitize Jackie Chan and go back to all the old series, make Project B.
do think that's the future with entertainment. Like, ABBA was touring as a hologram.
Wait, really?
Up until recently. Yeah.
Doesn't Tupac still do that?
Does Tupac really?
I knew there was a hologram. No, I didn't know it was like a tour of Tupac.
I don't think that there is a touring hologram of Tupac.
It could happen.
It'll happen.
It would be really sad.
There's that Japanese pop star who literally is a hologram. Like, it's a real pop star.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think there is at least one YouTube channel which is just an entirely simulated teenage girl.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, people are fucking crazy.
That's the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's the first movie where he's played, like, a completely, not completely evil dude, but, like.
No, he's a good guy, man. He's a good guy in this movie.
Well, he's just trying to help his brothers, you know?
Yeah. He's a comrade.
I found that speech that G gives at the end sort of compelling, because not only did he kill the two sort of rival gang bosses, he kills the one cop on the beach, which, you know, fuck cops, but, like, nonetheless, like, dude was, like...
No, he did some murdering.
Yeah,
sure.
From the start. Mm. Like, it felt until that moment, I hadn't thought about it, I was like, oh, wow, it took a turn when Jackie Chan started killing mob bosses. But no, he's been killing people from the start.
But, like, always to, like, get to safe land or whatever. Like, in the beginning, he's just trying to get off the fucking coast or the shore.
I like how when he runs away from that, he steals a bomber jacket and, like, some nice sneakers to blend in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have fresh threads. Otherwise, people will absolutely clock him as being from some remote village in Dongbei,
yeah,
which is where he was coming from.
No, nobody else scales up their outfits like G, though. He turns into Yu-Gi-Oh! Eventually at the end.
Yeah, it
that
happens
was
really
absolutely
fast.
Psychotic. That was incredible.
Pegasus,
you know, The
hair.
Dark Knight had come out like a year before, I think. So I wonder if the director just...
That makes sense. Yeah, the prosthetics were, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to sicko mode. You can think it twisted. I was literally waiting for him to say, do you know how he got these scars?
There's like a moment at that party with all the bouncing lowriders where he's like pointing to them and he's like, almost saying that.
Of getting laser treatment?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I also love how he just grabs the velvet rope pole and whacks this guy with it. Very club-themed violence.
Why was that cordon there? It was in, like, a square in the middle of this, like, lowrider club.
Yeah, I was unclear as to the nature of that club, for sure.
Just makes me want to go to Japan more.
I can't imagine that. Like, I mean, I suppose some people must be into lowriders.
That's what Japan looks like.
This is Japan in the early 90s. Things were different back then.
Yeah, everybody had a lowrider. The economy was booming, and everybody was, like...
No, but I think the way that Joe, after he got black-pilled and started wearing, like, weird makeup, I think that was a subculture in Japan. Like, in Chinese, it's called shamatte. And it became big in China in, like, I think the early 2000s. It has all but petered out now, but it's, like, a very, like, almost, like, juggalo-like. Like, it's not a highbrow subculture. If you look at the shamatte, I think they look pretty... I think that's what they're supposed to be.
I mean, it wouldn't have been as weird if his character wasn't who his character was in the beginning of the movie.
Well, yeah, he completely...
He's the chestnuts guy.
He's just the most normal dude. And for some reason, he's always the one that gets absolutely fucked up.
Well, yeah, and I mean, getting your hand sliced off for no reason, I guess, convinced him that the world is evil and just to take the black pill.
He gets it chopped off by his chestnut chopping device too.
His own chestnut, that's a good point. By his own chestnut stand. That really adds insult to injury.
But I also, I'm kind of curious if, like, Daniel Wu was aware of this subculture before going into this, because apparently, like, from what I was reading, often when he's working on movies, he has to have his assistant explain things to him, because he grew up in, like, Oakland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got the most California accent if you ever hear him speak English.
Hell yeah.
What else in this movie was good? Jackie Chan dies at the end, which is unheard
he does.
Of.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
In the same sewer where he saved that cop's life.
Yes, that was a parallel.
That was pretty deep.
I thought the cop was one of the more charming characters in the movie, which is rare, but, like...
Very much like an anime character. Very short sentences, Just always look down.
I assume it's because his Chinese wasn't great.
I was watching the dub version, so I have to know.
Yeah, I also have the dub version.
This is the first movie I watched as a dub.
I started watching that dub, and then I was like, no, this is no good.
It's a fun experience to watch a dub. Can't even remember the last time I watched something dub. Yeah. It kind of went with the weird stage quality of it all. It was enjoyable.
It's nice for action movies sometimes just because you don't have to pay attention to, like, every bit of it so much as you do when it's subtitled.
I don't know if I would classify this one as an action movie, though, because there's very little action.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I wanted more action. I thought it was going to be, like, constant, like, 90% action sequences.
And it's less than, like, Jackie Chan movies on either side of this one, too. Like, there's two fights. And one of them, he slices a guy's hand off, which I've also never seen.
I mean, he was kind of chilling. He said, "I don't want,
I don't want no smoke, Jackie Chan. He's making money.
He's so rich. Oh my god,
it's crazy."
Yeah.
If you ever read descriptions of his complex, and I think he has a Jackie Chan complex in Shanghai, just tons and tons of buildings.
I don't know if we've discussed this before. But he's completely in bed with the CCP. He's he also apparently had connections to Bo Xilai.
Yeah.
Interesting man.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting man.
How popular is he now in China?
Oh, he's still big. He was in the most recent New Year blockbuster the thing that was slated to be a blockbuster. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he shows up in a movie every
couple of months.
He does have a new movie coming out.
Well, he was supposed to have Vanguard come out at the start of 2020.
It's come out in Saudi Arabia.
Right. They're gonna charge enough for the tickets to make back the budget. Each ticket.
Dude, this is a Saudi 2030.
I was interested in like the business model of the petty crime that they do. First of all, apparently no one in Japan steals stuff. So you can pick up a bag of golf clubs and walk away with it.
Yeah.
Nobody will look as
I really like the economy in this movie.
Yeah, it was cool.
Fake phone cards.
Go to a department store. People abuse things. Phone sell it cards, on the black
credit card scams. Pinball machine scams.
Yeah.
Laundering your money through like chess machines.
Every time he has a Japanese person in his movies, like in Thunderbolt, which Kenya was also in, there's a huge fight scene in a pachinko parlor.
That is a big recurring thing. Just in general with crime, anything Japanese.
You gotta have your pachinko machines
over there.
The costumes in this movie were pretty fun.
Pretty fashionable for Jackie Chan. Like, there's that scene where he breaks down and he'll, like, all in for Monoguchi. He's got this, like, pretty angular, high-collared black jacket, which was one of the sort of flyest things I've seen Jackie Chan wear possibly ever.
He was vibe in this whole movie. This whole movie was such a vibe. Like, the first time I watched it, I didn't really get much of it, but, like, I very much enjoyed the movie visually. And then the second time, it was just like, all right, Jackie Chan is just an honest immigrant.
Yeah.
So
it did feel so weird, though, because I really think of this kind of movie as an American genre, like, with The Godfather and Scarface. And,
no,
like,
there are
even
tons of Japanese gangster movies, though.
Yeah, but the whole bootstraps element of it that was in this one. Felt like it really...
I guess I haven't watched too much Japanese crime movies.
I haven't watched too many either, but...
I've seen at least a couple where it's like a similar guy working up the ranks of the Yakuza type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, the Yakuza are so cool.
Yeah, they really are.
Not
like,
enough triads
just seeing
in
them
this
side
movie,
by
though.
Side with like the Taiwanese triad or whatever, like, yeah, the Yakuza just wiped the floor.
The Taiwanese did not come looking good out of this movie.
Well, they're missing
a
hand.
I wonder why.
They had some of the snappiest costumes, though.
Yeah.
Also makes sense.
Good, yeah.
I do feel like this was one of the movies that's, like, in terms of Chinese movies treating Japanese characters, this was one of the kindest to Japanese characters. Like, there are likable Japanese in this movie. Like Higuchi, kind of.
Iguchi, he was very humanized. He was kind of an enlightened despot.
Right.
Oh, he was very, like, pro points-based immigration and stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
And Nakajima just sitting in the background spouting off racist bullshit.
Yeah, he did not, like, Nakajima was not... I mean, the movie was very cosmopolitan. They were talking about, you know, you had the Taiwan gangs, the China gangs, the Southeast Asia gangs, the Japanese gangs. I don't know. It was cool.
Should have been more gang fights.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But it really does build up in, I think, a very satisfying way to the last scene where it's literally just, like, crowds of guys in leather jackets or just regular jackets with swords.
It's really like Nazi zombies.
It's interesting, though, because it's different from Jackie Chan's other movies in that, like, it's kind of one man taking on an army in a lot of these, with Jackie Chan just beating up a whole horde of guys. But in this movie, it's running. Either a bunch of guys ganging up on one guy and then completely wrecking him, or you need to have two huge mobs of dudes clashing.
Yeah. It was a little bit too realistic, almost.
It felt very realistic like that.
Yeah. I just want Jackie Chan to beat up 20 dudes.
I think the turn towards realism is Jackie Chan sort of admitting that he can no longer beat up 20 dudes, so he needs a new MO.
Yeah, he seems a little he also seemed to be playing a character that was supposed to be like 30 years younger than he actually is.
So it's funny though, because he looks older in this movie than he does in Karate Kid, which is a few years later. And maybe it's just because he looks really good in Karate Kid for some reason, but like...
Well, I think in Karate Kid, it's because he's supposed to look sort of disheveled so he can get away with, like, concealing some things about his age and his appearance. But in this movie, because he's pretty, like, even if he's, like, mob boss-y, he's kind of clean cut.
I mean, so he just wants his tractor.
Yeah. It was just like, even when he's in the bomber jacket t-shirt pants, it's like...
This movie definitely has the longest screen time with, like, Jackie Chan on a tractor in, like, his career. At least 250 seconds of him on a tractor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess most of his early stuff is set in Hong Kong, and there are fewer farmers.
Not as many tractors per capita in Hong Kong.
So, like, there were also supposed to be emotional beats in this movie.
Like what?
He loses his shit when G dies.
It's okay. That is exactly the one I'm thinking of. Especially because that weeping, I think he gets better at weeping when he gets to Karate Kid. He weeps Nicolas Cage Mandy levels in Karate Kid.
No. Not quite Mandy levels. Come on.
Okay, he's approaching Mandy levels. And like in terms of duration, he's getting there. But in this one, yeah, he weeps. But it didn't feel like I'm watching Jackie Chan weep. I didn't get that hitting me as hard in this one.
Yeah, I don't really even remember it, to be honest, so.
There you go.
The most moving to me was the camaraderie of the whole Chinese clan living in that small house. That was cute, the whole family, like, or I don't even know if they're all related.
I don't think any of them were related. They might have been from, like, similar villages.
What was the thing? They were all going to immigrate based on the fact there was this one lady in the village who was Xen's Japanese.
Guard. Yeah, she had some Japanese heritage, and it was like, oh, you can just say you're our mother.
I don't even think it's heritage. There was no provable heritage. Their entire argument was, she has this vaccine scar. People of her age would not have a vaccine scar because the Japanese got all the vaccines. Which, I guess, is
That's a good
timely.
Argument, probably.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't hold up in immigration court, but sure.
Guess... That was enough for literally all immigrate to Japan.
Right. I mean, I think they're all illegal at the start, but Jackie's tractor girl who marries Iguchi, she gets over legally, seemingly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We also haven't talked about Fan Bingbing in this movie, who's, I don't know, in it throughout.
She gets a fairly big role.
Yeah, she does a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have a ton to work with.
This is a movie about charity. For the community.
Murder as charity.
I mean, the immigration stuff is big, right? Like, how are the Japanese looked at in China today?
It's always back and forth. I mean, there were some big anti-Japanese riots earlier in the teens. And then, like, there's long-standing territorial disputes, but they kind of flare up and go out. I think these days it's really not that bad. Especially because so many young Chinese people love, like, otaku culture, which is kind of frowned upon by their elders. But, like, Japan is still the number one tourist destination for China. In the 80s and early 90s, that's where you went to study. If you were, like, a high-achieving young Chinese person.
There are students in Fan Bingbing's bar brothel thing.
Yeah, what was it? I wasn't clear of the nature of that.
So she was saying, Jackie was like, is that guy illegal or something like that? And then she's like, no, they're just working students.
Yeah.
So that would line up.
Damn, fan bing bing with the work study program.
I wonder what happens to all those students when she disappears.
Damn, she did quarantine before.
Oh. That's rough.
She went into tax quarantine.
She went into tax quarantine. Yeah, her brother is like a pretty big star in China now. Really? Her brother, possibly her illegitimate son. I like to see. Yeah. Seriously, look him up. Fan Cheng Cheng.
Has he been in anything good?
He must. I just know him. He was on a like idol show, like an elimination idol competition for boy idols. And he came in like in the top five or something. And now he's a big star.
I wonder how much of that, though, was like because like the narrative of like, oh, shit, it's Fan Bingbing's brother.
I think that was a big part of it. And he got constantly roasted throughout the show for being Fan Bingbing's brother. But yeah, there's a theory that he's actually her son. Because their age difference is so big, he's like 20 years younger.
Is he like 18 now?
Yeah, he's around that age. But who knows?
I really like Jackie Chan's first drunken scene with Fan Bingbing. Because at one point he just like, you don't have a man, girl, or something like that. Just like it really came through so strange in the dub.
I always like seeing Jackie Chan drunk. Obviously, there's the Drunken Master and all that, but just Jackie Chan drunk in casual situations is always fun. And apparently, he's always taking people out to dinner. So maybe I like to think that he's drunk every night and that amusing all the time. Probably not fighting
people.
Yeah, that's
been the biggest through line.
Support of the CCP.
Imagine Jackie Chan was like angry drunk.
I would love some leaked audio of Jackie Chan and G just gone on a bottle of whiskey in a hotel room.
Sing things out.
What if we just cover Hong Kong in a dome, you know?
Could happen.
Yeah. He's definitely got the best party tricks of anybody.
He does, but he only usually has those because of editing, if you watch the bloopers. And there were no bloopers on this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is an all-business movie, man.
I guess it's hard to have bloopers after Jackie Chan dies.
Well, like, sure.
But actually, that's not even true, because they still did it on a...
Little Big Soldier. He dies at the very end. A heroic death.
And then they immediately go to blooper reel.
And that was a good blooper reel.
Them whacking that canoe into the side of a mountain.
Yeah, so anyway, last thoughts on Shinjuku, anyone?
Totally passable film, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a watchable movie. Yeah. It's definitely a watchable movie. Yeah.
Jackie Chan should sling more drugs.
So what I think is, it's a watchable movie, but it is a bad Jackie Chan performance, relatively.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm used to him having more zest, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, everything about it was so dark.
Even so, like he could have leaned into that darkness. He just sort of goes straight down the middle for neutral. He could have either gotten the Daniel Wu path or the detective
thing. Oh, also, can we talk about when he went out, he decided to hire some hookers, and nobody wants to see Jackie Chan getting
In the original, I'm pretty sure they're like Russian hookers, too.
Nobody wants to see that.
It reminded me of Forrest Gump, when Forrest Gump was Dan just getting ridden. And Lieutenant Dan's having his Vietnam flashback.
Oh my god. Well, did you ever interview the director? Ask him why he felt the need to put that on screen.
They do specifically like zoom in on Daniel Wu in that scene, though. They don't focus on Jackie Chan. They're in the other room.
When you see him, you see Jackie Chan laying there expressionless.
Yes, he's sitting written, there's a flashback to when he lost his paper.
Exactly.
That was a weirdly placed flashback.
That was really weirdly placed.
That should have been the third tractor flashback.
No people in that flashback, just the tractor.
Just loving shots of a tractor.
Thanks again, Lauren. Up next is our interview with Kenya Sawada, Nakajima, and Shinjuku Incident.
Could you tell us how you first started working with Jackie Chan on Thunderbolt?
Before Thunderbolt, I and Jackie met when I was 23 years old, which means more than 30 years.
Wow.
And he is 33 years old. He's 10 years. And I met him through my friend. He's a very famous singer in Japan. And we had dinner. And at that time, of course, I was nothing, right? Just started my career as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows. And a 33-year-old Jackie Chan is, of course, after Project A or something, already a superstar. At that time, so many people, maybe 30 people, dinner. I was far from Jackie Chan and so on. Wow, that's real. He's, you know, alive. Wow. And I don't know, maybe somebody called about me to the Jackie Chan. I'm not for sure the detail, but anyway, he knows, Jackie knows I'm the kind of martial artist. And he came to and we'll walk together someday. So I really, really excited. And then my notion has completely changed, domestic to international. Oh, I want to do this stage with Jackie Chan. Of course, it didn't happen soon, right? And I changed my style, my vision to the world. So I study English again and wait Jackie's call. But since nothing happened, maybe 4 or 5 years. And then I got information in a lot of Hollywood, people will make Street Fighter 2 video game. And this is a good chance for me because I'm the martial artist, not only the actor. And the Street Fighter 2 need, of course, Japanese. So I went to Hollywood. And anyway, I got a small role in the Street Fighter and then finished the shooting and came back to Tokyo. And then Jackie called me. Actually, his assistant called me. Oh, Sawada-san, what are you doing? Where are you? I'm in Tokyo and I just finished the shooting. Okay, Jackie-san is shooting in Japan. So why don't you come to say hi? Oh, okay. Yeah. And so where are you guys? They are in Sendai City. And okay, so come tomorrow. Okay. okay, very. Okay, I'll. Oh, hang on. You should wear some black suit. What? Why should I wear black suit? Anyway, don't think of deep. Okay, and I will wear a black suit and go to the location. And Jackie said, "Oh, it's been a long time." And producer came too. His name is Chai Lang, the very famous producer in Golden Harvest. And he said, "Sawada-san, how much are you? What are you talking about? Ikura desu? How much? How much? What do you mean?" And then the start. Jackie needs some Japanese bad guy who can a little bit move. And maybe shooting days 1 week. So very easy. One or two dialogues. That's it. Okay. And I accept the offer. Of course, Jackie's offer. No one will reject. And that's it. And never ever had to think about the big action scene. You saw the Thunderbolt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the producer said that. Just 1 week, you know, easy, a little bit action, and maybe 2 or 3 words. We're going to shoot here in Japan 1 week. Mm-hmm. That's very easy. But I took 1 or 2 cuts in Sendai in Tokyo. Okay, next week, you should go to the Los Angeles. What? Los Angeles? And I went to Los Angeles, and we took maybe 2 or 3 scenes. And okay, next time you go to the Hong Kong. What? And the action scene started. You know, kind of hell. It's very tough. Guess how many days it took pachinko fighting scene?
Let's say a week. It's a very complicated scene.
Oh, yeah. Okay, totally.
Mm-hmm.
1 month and a half.
What?
1 month. You know,
is that filming or training or
filming?
Wow!
No training, of course. Jackie Chan's fighting scene, no training, of course. They need to qualify to stand on that stage. The action director, actors, actress, everybody can move. So no excuse. It's hard. I think it's the hardest action scene. You know, I have kind of career, but it's tough. Yeah, I thought that I'm gonna die here. Something like that.
How did you initially communicate with Jackie? Like, what was the common language you guys spoke in?
Oh, English. But at that time, Jackie Chan didn't go to the United States yet, so he didn't speak a lot. So
he'd done Rumble in the Bronx, right, by that point?
I think after Street Fighter. He did own Cannonballs.
Yeah, where he played a Japanese driver.
Right. Yeah, it was so hard.
What was it like to have Jackie Chan as a partner in a fight scene?
At that time, the action director is Sammo Hung.
Mm-hmm.
You know Sammo?
Yeah.
He's a big brother of Jackie Chan. So no one can resist his direction.
Mm-hmm.
Sammo never, ever compromise. So that reason why it took so long time. And even Jackie, oh no, something like that. First time I hit Jackie Chan, Sammo told me, hey, this is the start of the fighting scene. So you should hit, actually, a real hit, give to the Jackie Chan. Can you imagine? I'm just a lot of fan of Jackie Chan, and the real Jackie Chan is stand in front of me, and Sammo said, hit his face, hardly. Can you imagine that? And of course I can. I couldn't hard, but I told you, Sammo never compromised. Hey, again. He said the only one word. Moikai. I mean, this is Japanese, one more time. Mokai. And finally, Jackie told me, hey, Sawada, never finish until you hit hard. So please hit hard my face. Okay. And then I... You imagine that. Get hard. And Jackie said, hey, you're too hard.
From the bloopers, it seemed like you guys were up on the trampoline part of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's actually at the 2 meter high. And at that time, Hong Kong action scene is very dangerous. There's no mat on the floor, no wire. Some cuts I had wires. But mainly no wires, because our action is very fast, and the wires very trouble to move. So it's very dangerous, especially, I don't like a height, you know.
When did you first hear about Shinjuku Incident?
Oh, a couple months before shooting Shinjuku Incident, Jackie called me, and we're going to shoot the Mafia story in Tokyo, and maybe you have a part, you should try to see a director. Because, you know, Jackie, he respect the director. So at that time, he never give pressure to the director. Like, use this guy, this is my friend. No, he gave me information and just go to see the director. And I find director Derek E. First time I met him, Derek's, you the guy who, do you know the Devils on the Doorstep?
No, I don't know that one.
It's a Chinese film. This film got a Grand Prix of Cannes 2000.
Ah, wow.
That's played about Japanese soldiers. And the director loves the part. And, oh, you're the best guy for this role. And he decided, and I accepted. I told Jackie I got a part, Shinjuku Incident, and Jackie asked me, what part? I said, the role name is Nakajima, who killed Jackie Chan in the last season. Jackie said, oh, you. He's really concerned about who's going to kill me. This is the first time for him.
Yeah.
And he played the illegal and no kung fu, no class love scenes. He break all tattoos by this film. So he very concerned about the guy who killed Jackie Chan. And I think he said he likes it. I think he's happy. I hope.
Were you anxious about being the guy who kills Jackie Chan when you saw that in the script?
No. I love it. Because and the Thunderbolt, our fighting scenes, no winner, right? Pachinko parlor breakdown, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
So we are kind of draw. And I said, oh, I can finish our fight, finally.
how is working on Shinjuku Incident different from working on Thunderbolt? Like, how had Jackie Chan changed and his style of film?
Basically, his style never changed. He's very frank and friendly and very kind to everybody. He always cleaning everywhere. Cleaning, wiping desk, throw garbage thing. He loves clean, so always cleaning, all same style. And for me, at that time, 20 years ago, so more clothes, and he really treat me superficially, very rough, hit, kick, but inside very warm and very take care of me. So I'm very happy at that time. Yeah, and this is my secret. It's a long time ago, so I can tell now. At that time, he has kind of trouble in Hong Kong. You know the Willie Chang?
Yeah.
Who's a manager and a longtime friend. At that time, people said Jackie fired Willie. And actually, Willie quit the job and left Jackie. And the Hong Kong people, everybody said Jackie is very cold and very, you know, not good word. But Jackie didn't say any word about that. So I think Jackie kind of sometimes on set, he's same as Jackie Chan. Everybody laughing, you know, to make laugh and cleaning set, you know. But sometimes I think he's kind of nervous. One day after shooting, midnight, I'm back my hotel room. We stay at the same hotel at the Kobe. After shooting, I always drink beer or wine. 1 o'clock past midnight, somebody knocked on my door. What the hell is this late time? And the Jackie Chan standing in front of my door, and he has right hand bottle of whiskey and the left hand some snacks. And what? Hey, Jack, we're gonna talk. And all of a sudden, Jackie came into my room and face to face, and he all of a sudden talk about Willie Chan. What happened to Willie? People say I fired him, but I didn't. He left. I just tried to stop. Jackie told me a whole story. It was maybe 1 hour or something, and keep talking, and cleaning the table. Or something. And finally, he stopped talking. Oh, this is the story about I and Willie. Oh, that, I thought it's my turn. Oh, Jackie, I think all of a sudden, Jackie, okay, good night. He you know, went you know, back to his room. And, I think I'm foreigner. I'm not Chinese and not Hong Kong. So he has no one to tell that did this. He's a superstar. No one. I think maybe someone, but at that time he has no one to talk to about that. I was impressed. I still remember. Sometimes with Jackie, we talk about that story. Still, yeah.
Was that the first sort of experience where you guys were?
Oh yeah. Because Jackie always drank dinner, you know, with so many people.
Yeah.
Surrounding. Face to face. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it sounds surreal.
Yeah, that's a small my hotel room, not my room, and that not sweet, you know, just a twin or something. So Jackie Chan sitting in front of me and cleaning my table. Deep impact for me. And our distance, I felt more closer.
Mm.
Yeah, we're still keeping that almost 30 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, every time he called me when he need Japanese bad guy, still now. But the final decision is not him. I told you, director. The director said, oh, again, this guy? No. We should sometimes use another bad guy. Yeah, maybe we're going to, if chance, I'm going to do it again with Jackie. He still move, right? Amazing.
Yeah, he's still 65. Going.
Oh, yes. 65 years old.
Yeah, and he just had Vanguard just came out, which is crazy. Does Jackie speak any Japanese? He seems to a bit in the film, or is that all phonetic?
Yeah, he can speak a little. Some like, you know, did you see my movie? Do you like it? Oh, I love you. Something like this. But his, I don't know, his pronunciation is kind of perfect. He has a kind of sense, I think. But his Japanese is very, you know, little, like my Chinese.
So, Shinjuku Incident is like a very dark movie, right? As opposed to really most of the movies Jackie Chan has made. How did that feel being on set for this?
Yeah, same. Huh. Hong Kong movie people is always bright, cheer, laughing, talking, eating, drinking, noisy. Yeah, Jackie, same. But a little bit concerned about the last scene. I always talk with the director, with Jackie, about toward the last scene is decided already. You know, Jackie died, maybe died, but toward the last scene, there are some ideas. For example, he changed his mind to have to change our style in the final cut. But the other idea is Jackie goes straight as a bad guy, a mafia. So never change. You know, I have to do, because I lead these people this way. So I have to go straight. I love this idea, like Scarface or Al Pacino thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, but a little bit I regret final decision. You know, Jackie tried to back to a right way, you know. No, it's okay. But Jackie always, and the director, and discuss about his character.
Was there any discussion ever of there being a fight scene between you two? Because I think what ends up happening is you kick him and then you get shot.
For us, that is not action scene. Just say hi, bye. That's
yeah, exactly.
But Jackie said, sword is okay. Yeah, it's easy to, you know. Even a one kick, two kick, it's kind of difficult, like a distance and how hard kick, because easy to react, right? So we know each other. So I think he's easy to do it. So no rehearsal, no discussion. That just on set, okay, do it. That's something like bam, bam, bam. That's
yeah.
Yeah, easy. Compared to a Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
And no Samo.
Is Chinese migration still a topic of conversation in Japanese politics? As far as you're aware, what role does China play in the minds of Japanese people today?
Today, it's much better than a couple of years ago. Much, much better. Japan and China has, many problems.
Yeah. Like,
historical and... now territorial, but now we are getting better, especially this coronavirus. First happened in China. Japanese people send a lot of masks and protector suits, lots of that sent to the China. And the China said, oh, thank you, Japan. And getting better. And now it's very good relationship in China and Japan. And, the generation is getting changing, because old people maybe hate Japan because of the World War II, but the new generation has all stuff like the internet, and some people went to Western college, university, and so the people completely changed and understand each other. Japan too. Used to be Japanese people think China is poor, big but poor, and very wild, very rude. But now, China has an economy and people getting smart. So even Japanese people think, China is now a big, maybe bigger economical part of you, more powerful than Japan now. So people admit China now. So I think it's a good relationship now, getting better, much, much better.
As someone who's worked so internationally, was it difficult to play a character who's so anti-Chinese and to try to understand that perspective?
Yeah, of course people understand this is a movie. And and you know, Chinese movie business is getting higher, right? Almost the same as Hollywood. The people say box office is higher than Hollywood now, right? Which means the people understand the movie. And people, of course, understand good action movie needs good bad guy, great bad guy. So people, movie lovers, respect me, and no one throw stones when I walk through Beijing or China. No. Very, very friendly. Oh, you're very strong, and I like you, something like that. Yeah.
What's Jackie Chan's reputation like in Japan?
Of course, a couple decades ago, he's a superstar, and he has grown to a hero. But recently, we had a lot of information from Taiwan and Hong Kong. The Japanese people feel like Taiwan, Hong Kong more closer than mainland China. So we had a lot of information from Hong Kong and China, Hong Kong and Taiwan. Especially Hong Kong people feel, do you know the people don't like Jackie Chan? No. Yeah,
after the protests, and he was sort of seen with the police.
Right. Yes, before that. Hong Kong people think he betrayed by Jackie Chan, because before 1998, still Hong Kong is England. At that time, Jackie participated the anti-China government. But now, he is one of member of
the Communist Party.
Right, yes, Communist Party. So this kind of information is a Japanese heart from Hong Kong and Taiwan. So very now a very subtle feeling. Of course, still people love Jackie Chan, but very, very subtle.
Yeah.
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 Do you think that affected how Shinjuku Incident performed at the box office?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
not that good. Because people expect fighting scene for Jackie Chan. So
yeah,
not many Jackie lovers went to the theater. Not that good. And in mainland China, it was banned to release.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So the box office must be not good. But everybody watched in China, you know, by a pirate DVD. Yep. And everybody watched that movie. Yeah.
All right. That's it for episode 2. Thank you again to Lauren Teixeira and Kenya Sawada.
Our original music comes from Elliot Saltmarsh and Yehuda of Fist with a PH, and our art comes courtesy of Jay Castro.
Hit us with the follow on Twitter at China Film Pod. Like the Uproar in the Studio Facebook page if you still use Facebook. And if you can afford it, maybe contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/uproarinthestudio. We too are trying to buy an island staffed by only Jackie Chan stuntmen, or if we don't have enough for that, maybe just a nut cart. Help out. And if you feel like it, have some thoughts or suggestions, email us at uproarinthestudio, all in one word, @gmail.com.
Next week, we'll be talking about the classic, The Spy Next Door. But before we leave you this week, we just want to share some wisdom from the chairman.
To read too many books is harmful. We'll see you next week.